You want to tangle with these guys? You're probably going to lose. And even if you win, you lose. Let me tell you what you lose. Here's a little fucking FBI DOJ for dummies. For any of you guys out there who think you can take these guys on, let me tell you what, even if you win, you lose. You lose money. A lot of money. You lose energy. A lot of energy. You lose friends. So-called friends. You can get over that, though, right? You lose, in many cases, the will to go out and pursue a happy life, etc. That's fucking big, right? You lose the ability, which might be a good thing, to understand that, well, we'll put in different phrasing. You lose the belief that your country is good and pure and all that. That's probably a good thing, a good wake-up call. Not necessarily a great way to come to that conclusion, however. You lose so many things. You lose credibility in your workplace. You lose your job. You can lose your career. Okay. You can lose your wife. You can lose your husband, whatever it is. You can lose your kids. You can lose everything. Even if you fight these people and you want to win, you can lose so much more. Right? This is the fucking game. You wanted to go down there and be the man. You should know the game. It's cool that you went down there and you wanted to be the man. You wanted to be the woman. It's cool. But you didn't know the game. So they're making sure now that you know the game, and they're making sure everybody else knows the game. And this is the game. And I hear time and time again from these fucking morons on Fox, all of them, the way that people are being treated in prison. What the fuck? What do you think? How do you think this place operates? You think they're treating these people that much different than other people they go after? They're not. Yes, in certain instances, maybe a little bit harsher. Okay. But this happens all over the place. And it's two stark, massively stark differences why people are treated that way. And I'll tell you, it's part of the cartel. If you cooperate with them and cut a deal, you are treated differently. If you tell them, go fuck yourself, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to make it hard on you to put a case together. I'm not going to plead out. I'm not going to bend over. I'm not going to get on my knees and kiss your fat ass. You're treated differently. Don't give me the bullshit about the different amendments and this stuff. They're supposed to protect you from that. This amendment, these people can't be treated this way. There's amendments against that. Settle down, Mark. This isn't how life really works, plain and simple. And I'm getting a little tired of people writing these stories about all these people are being treated this way and it's so unfair. This is the way they work against all foes. They even work this way against their own employees, okay, who go against them. This is a criminal cartel, plain and simple. The faster you learn that, the smarter you're going to be, and the more well-versed you're going to be to stay away from these guys and to circumnavigate these guys and understand what they're about. When they show up at your door to ask you questions, you don't talk to them. You never talk to them without a lawyer, ever. These guys, just one blunder after another. These guys get charged. They got spoken to. They went to their homes. The FBI went to their homes and talked to them. They thought that they were helping the FBI. Look, I wasn't in the building at all. Here's my cell phone footage. You're toast. You're toast. As soon as you let them in the fucking door, you're toast without a warrant. You're done. It's over. They're laughing. I worked with agents. You knock on a door, fucking motor mouth. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, what are you looking at me for? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm thinking to myself, I want to be behind them with a sign. Shut. Please shut up. And you drive away. And the agents are like, Jesus Christ, that guy's toast. We got this fucking guy. Let's go get a beer. Slam dunk. High five. You don't even understand what you're up against. You never had a chance. You never had a chance. And the Epoch Times, how do you think, of course they're threatening seditious conspiracy and life in prison because these guys haven't cut a deal yet. As soon as they cut a deal, the charges will be lessened. But don't worry, in the story, Alan Dershowitz just checked in. Yes, that Alan Dershowitz, the one that used to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein, he's checking in and telling you all about it. It's absurd, the attempted link to treason. Is it really? You're playing another part. You're playing another role. You're on stage. Alan, you're on stage next. Take your mark. Put some pants on this time, you fucking weirdo. This is a circus, and it's a game, and it's a real game. It's a real fucking game, and you better learn it through mentors and through people who've been out here trying to tell you how it works. You don't want to learn it the hard way. This is not a reality show. You do not want to play the interactive home version. And I'll tell you straight out, some people don't make it. That's it. They'll win their lives. This is a fight for your fucking life. And so to read these stories on a regular basis about how these people are threatened and treated so harshly. Yes, it's true, but it's blanket. It's true for everybody. These guys are vicious motherfuckers. They don't care about you. They don't care about your families. And when they come in your house with guns, that should be pretty goddamn evident. Ask Randy Weaver. Look at his life. Look what they did to him. Nothing has changed. Don't fucking kid yourself. It's probably worse. Plain and simple. What else we got? That's enough for now. We got the two interviews, and we have more after this. Stick around. This is a fucking loaded show. I love it. I love how it came together. It's not good that Randy Weaver has passed, but there are folks to see on the other side if you believe in that kind of stuff. Not the worst thing in the world if you can connect on the other side with somebody you lost prematurely, so to speak, especially a son and a wife, etc. You have to think, well, maybe there's a silver lining in this cloud for a guy like Weaver. And we'll be visiting that shortly after the interview with Patch Adams. And so, you know, we appreciate it. We really do. And folks on Pain.tv and Thomas Paine Podcast. And hopefully you can check in on Pain.tv and really, really catch a wave, man. It's something else. We appreciate the folks on there. And the folks listening on Thomas Paine Podcast, and we try to keep it real. We try to keep the telling you the straight skinny. And I just think we've had a stellar year so far, and time is flying, and the work days are long, but I think we're making some strides here with people. And I think, you know, for the small crew, yeah, we are really pumping out some good stuff, and it makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. And we're still getting our legs under us, trying to learn broadcasting, and sky's the limit, it really is. And we'll just keep telling you the truth and bringing up stuff from the past and trying to teach different lessons and things like that, and try to straighten out some of these people who are misleading you overall or trying to sell you different things. It's just a damn shame what happened now. We looked at it today, over 800 people have been charged in the breach of the district at the federal level. 800 people who basically did nothing. Most of those people did nothing, just walked around. And of the 800, we did a count, about 250 have pleaded out, and only a handful of trials have been completed and scheduled. So you understand how the system works. We talked about Legal Man, with Legal Man, about this. Without the plea bargain, the system collapses. If everybody says, fuck you, I want to go to trial, the whole thing blows up. They're not built for that. So they try to scare the hell out of you. But it's rigged both ways. Because the juries are rigged. If you go in front of a jury, chances are you're going to get convicted. And everybody in this situation who's gone in front of a jury has gone down the tubes and been convicted. So, a little advice from Uncle Mike, if you're facing these sons of bitches, you're, as I've been told by my lawyers, you're better off requesting a bench trial in front of a judge. It's your call, not justice's call. You can ask for a jury trial or a bench trial, but some people get caught up in the Dick Wolf moment and the SVU moment. I'm going to have a jury, and my lawyer's going to fucking sway the jury. Your jury is packed with idiots who think that these feds are fucking great. They go home and say, I saw a real FBI officer, a real FBI agent, and he, fuck out of here. And when we do an analysis, we find that the defendants who've gone before a judge in a bench trial have received either a split acquittal or full acquittals. The judge says, look, I don't have time for this shit. This is rinky-dink bullshit, just like my judge said. My judge did me a solid and did my family a solid and put this nonsense to bed, plain and simple. While I didn't get an acquittal, I didn't go to the fucking big house, and I get to make money every day doing something I love to do, pointing what a criminal cartel this is out to you folks. So it's been wild. It's been just a wild ride. And I'll never forget it. No matter what happens from here on in, it's just every day you wake up, smile on your face, let's go to work. Just tell people what's really going on behind the scenes from somebody who's been there. I mean, I don't know if there's other folks like doing stuff like this. I can't even pay attention. We're so busy. And we're so swamped here. But we appreciate you folks, man, big time. Let's go into this other part of the show. This is where I say take care and God bless to you. And I mean that as well. And on top of everything, try to get some quiet time, a little bit of solace. Squeeze a little bit in the next couple days if you can.
Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 7th, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning wherever you may be across this great land of ours. From the island of Guam, commercially, out across the dateline, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Good morning. We are going to do something a little different tonight. Normally, we start out in the second hour with a guest. Tonight, we're going to start out in the first hour with a guest, and he is Hatch Adams. Hatch Adams. You may recall, I'm sure most of you, the movie about Hatch Adams' life, played by Robin Williams. In fact, the real Patch Adams is here tonight.
Folks, there's two things that stick out in today's environment with what's going on. One, with all the prices going up and everything else, somebody offers you a 70% discount on something, you should stop and listen. That's number one. And we're about to do that. And two, when someone can protect you, has a product that can protect you and protect your interests, protect your cell phones, your notepads, and your computers, and beyond your laptops, well, then you have to stop and take a listen. And, I was traveling this weekend. I've been traveling a lot, talking to people, and I stay in hotels. And one of the most fantastic things is having this product, and they've been a sponsor for a while, and they've been fantastic, IP Vanish. And it really protects everything. I don't have to worry about who's snooping, what's going on. And some of the stuff we deal with here
with sources and other things and some sensitive stuff, it's nice to have an extra layer of protection. Every commodity you can imagine is going up, and they step in and say, well, we'll give you folks out there who listen to the podcast 70% off. It's like, what? We've received a lot of feedback about folks who are using it to their advantage and keep yourself protected, and that's important these days more than ever. And you throw in the discount, and then you got a winning combination. Tired of feeling like someone's always watching you on the internet? Maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about the privacy of your identity. Using incognito mode won't solve the problem either. IPVanish VPN is here to protect your right to privacy and help you stay anonymous online. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IPVanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick, and when you're streaming media. When you use IPVanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. And you can use IPVanish or unlimited uses on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free for you folks who need a little help with the math. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know what's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today. So go to IPVanish.com/pain. That's P-A-I-N-E. And use promotional code PAIN, all in caps, P-A-I-N-E. And claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/pain.
An MD, a social revolutionary, says on the back of his book, who has devoted his life to giving away healthcare. Doctor, clown, man of many hats indeed. Adams is the founder of the Gesundheit Institute, a home-based medical practice in West Virginia that has treated more than 15,000 people for free. Whether it means putting on a red clown nose for sick children or taking a disturbed patient outside roll down a hill with him, Adams does whatever he has to do to help heal. In his frequent lectures and performances at medical schools and international conferences, his irrepressible energy cuts right through the business-like facade of the medical industry to address how the need for a caring relationship between doctor and patient is at the very heart of true medicine. This is the story of Patch Adams' lifetime quest to transform the healthcare system. And he has extremely strong opinions on that, which is all right. It is an astounding story you're about to hear, if he'll tell it for us. Coming up in a moment, Dr. Patch Adams. This is going to be, I think, very interesting. From the hills, I don't know about the hills, from West Virginia, here is Patch Adams. Hello, Patch.
Hi, I'm actually speaking to you from Virginia.
Virginia, huh? I thought it was West Virginia.
We're building a hospital in West Virginia, but you can't raise money in West Virginia, and that's my job.
Raising money? In other words, you obviously want to finish your project, right?
Well, we're in our 31st year. I thought it would take four.
Yeah, that's a pretty long haul, isn't it, to live with an unrealized dream?
Well, it's not really safe to say it was unrealized. I mean, really important for people who want to create things or to have their intentions come true that they see each day as it being real. Zintite has been living every day for over 30 years now. It's not waiting to happen for a building in West Virginia.
No, that's true. And I, and as it points out here, you've treated a lot of people over the years for free. Nobody does that.
Well, actually, there are some people do it. Shriners Hospitals treat people for free. There's a Deborah Hospital in New Jersey that does it. Sai Baba has some free hospitals in India.
Let me rephrase that. I've never been treated for free.
Right.
Ever. And I think I probably am like most Americans. Don't you think so?
Well, medicine is a big business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, business is big business, and medicine just happens to be the greediest one.
It's one of the biggest ones. That's for sure. All businesses, remember the movie about Wall Street where the guy stood up and said, greed is good?
Well, that's certainly the message our children get.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're taught to survive in the atmosphere that we have in America economically. Their parents naturally would teach them to survive in the atmosphere that exists out there. And so it's propagated, right?
Right. Well, even more dangerous than just surviving in it, there's an undercurrent that children hear that to excel in it and to go to the kind of a who wants to be a millionaire has a huge number of listeners because they want to be the millionaire. It's not a matter of surviving. It's being the top consumer that is pushed onto the population, where surviving is a lot different than that.
Well, they are the millionaires. They're ABC. They're billionaires. They're a big, gigantic corporation, no question about it. And it's a popular show. I don't know why. Why do you think it's so popular?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One, people have been so dumbified by the modern society that they actually are able to watch something that is as inane as that TV show. I think they're bored. I think that people are unhappy and anxious, and that they actually don't have intentions that drive them to create the life that is available for anybody. Anyone can have intentions and live a blissed life following those intentions, but that's not the messages out there. And so, I mean, in my experience, I assume people are depressed and anxious until they prove otherwise.
Depressed and anxious.
And the message of our society, and implied in the statement of the show, who wants to be a millionaire? If you actually ask people, most everybody does. It is a much closer definition of success than being a good friend.
Well, I'm not, you know what, I'm not sure that's as universally true as it was. I think it's generally true, but I think that there are changes that are beginning to take place in with regard to people's spirituality. You notice any of that?
Well, I mean, on the microcosm, one could say they see a lot of it. But we could take people, number of people that said they belong to the Christian church. And I wouldn't take that a figure as to be the number of people who are actually Christians.
Mm.
That for me, probably less than 5% of Christians actually are. Because Christ's message is to serve, to live a life in service and caring for others. So unless you're doing that, you're not really a Christian. You're just hovering. And I think the same is true. I think there is a hunger for people to have meaning in their life, and the spiritual life is one area to have meaning.
So you think 95% of Christians are just hovering?
Right. I mean, one, they don't give themselves the personal benefit. If a person truly surrenders to Christ, they need never suffer. I'm speaking not as a Christian, but as an understander of the text and meeting a few faithful people, that if one is full of their faith, it covers their suffering, so they won't suffer. They won't want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so by wanting, they obviously are not shepherded.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a society of wanting. So one of the benefits of having a faith, and some would suggest, certainly Dostoevsky did, that if people didn't, if God didn't exist, humans would have created God for that purpose, to try to give them meaning in some way.
That's right.
And, you know, it's impossible to find meaning in a society that worships money and power. There is no meaning in money, and there's no meaning in power over. There's just quantity, but no meaning. And so it makes sense that people, the body of 20th century literature around the world is about loneliness and loss of meaning. And in a century of this loss of meaning, it makes sense that people would be vulnerable to almost any kind of empowerment.
Well,
but I don't think it's, if the consequences of that empowerment are what a spiritual path is, which, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one spiritual path, and that is service, to help nature and others, to spend love outwardly. And that, to me, is a spiritual life, and that's why I say that maybe many people are religious, but not very many are spiritual.
All right. We're getting pretty deep, pretty fast. Take me back, I guess. Take me back, sure. Tell me about your life. Everybody's seen the movie Patch Adams, right?
I was born in 1945, a weekend furlough of my father, who was a professional soldier in the European theater. And then I think I saw him again 18 months later. And I grew up on army bases overseas. My mom was a school teacher. And at age 16, having lived in Germany for 7 years at that time, my father died suddenly.
I've talked about it many times before, so I'll mention it again. My time at Citi, at Citibank, almost 10 years with billions of dollars moving across my desk, and I learned so much in banking. I learned so much from the other side of banking. So I know a good bank from a bad bank. I know a good deal from a bad deal. And so when this bank approached us and said, hey, we'd like to advertise on your show, I said, let's do something different. Let's give folks something to draw them in, right? To let them know that you are a different bank. And I'm seeing a lot of banks out there pandering to current trends at the cost of the customer. But there's one that's not afraid to make bold decisions that put customers first, even if it's going to make headlines. It's Axos Bank. You do a quick search and you'll see what I mean. This is a bank that's all about integrity, fairness, and freedom to do business without compromising our values. Take a look at their rewards checking account, where you can earn the highest interest rate, and it's a big one. Listeners can get $150 if you open it by July 31st. That's $150 to you. Go to axosbank.com/pain for full details. That's Axos Bank, axosbank.com/pain. And for that cash bonus, you only need a $1,500 direct deposit within the first 3 months of opening your rewards checking account. Axos Bank is federally insured, member FDIC, and they're for us, all of us. AxosBank.com/pain. Go check them out.
And so I became a war orphan and returned to the United States in 1961 to the South, which was in the throes of confrontation with racism in the form of the Civil Rights Movement, and I immediately got involved. I was also a nerdy kid. Nerdy science kid, and didn't really fit into the American society very well. I was in an all-white school and frequently beaten up because I took a stand. And those 2 years, it's between 16 and 18, were pretty turbulent for me. They couldn't make Robin look 18. And then the film opens with me in a mental hospital. My three hospitalizations occurred when I was 17 and 18. I didn't want to live in a world of violence and injustice. Since I had such a loving mother who really gave me a very clear picture of unconditional love, to go out and suddenly noticed that the adult world didn't care about those things.
Did they give you an official diagnosis?
Oh, golly, it's long enough to me. I mean, I never saw the reports. Suicide attempt, adolescent adjustment reaction.
Mm-hmm.
They used different labels in those days than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
It was before they had a book that told them they had to fit it into these specific labels.
Some kind of deep depression, though, anyway.
Well, my memory of it is that I wanted to die. I used to hide under my bed, not understanding why people cared about what color a person was. And the hypocrisy that was in the churches. And not having a mentor, and not really, I guess, dealing with my father's death, and being a weird nerd, and not really having success in courtship. All that was happening at the same time. Going to jazz clubs and being in the Math Honor Society, geeking out and working for justice.
Plus, you never were able to form very long-term relationships if you were a military brat, moved all the time.
Right, which actually I see as a bonus, which is why what you do is you get really good at forming them very quickly.
That's right.
You can, for those who do it well, we have great skills at going into a town where we don't know anybody and having a circle of friends really quickly.
That's right. That's right.
And I was one of those people. I was a happy-go-lucky, playful kid until those 2 years. Then the last hospitalization, I changed my life forever. I looked around. I didn't see a staff any happier than the patients.
When it came on, when this came on to you, I mean, you were pretty much happy-go-lucky. And then, boom, is it like a big curtain coming down in your life?
Long enough ago to where I mostly philosophize about it than have a fully clear memory. I was a happy-go-lucky nerd kid. My father died. We were uprooted, came back to America. And the hate and the racism, it was everywhere. People being denied eating at food counters and going to the bathroom and drinking fountains. It was inexcusable.
Yes.
And that was probably even more devastating than my father's death, was that people could deny a person something because of their color, that they could actually speak about black people as if they weren't people. And then I noticed in my school, the white school I was in, they didn't care. Why do you care? You're not black, is what they would tell me. As if they had no idea what this country was formed on, and justice and those sort of things, that justice wasn't important.
Good. Let's go back a little bit and think about that then. You and I are the same age. I was born in 45 as well. And you're talking about a time when America went through a really big change. It really went through a big change. This period when you were ill, when you got ill, America was changing. It was a moment of dramatic social change. And we've been on a course from that change ever since, haven't we?
Well, I think the more one studies history, they know that change is going on all the time. There was a very visible 60s thing.
Right.
The civil rights movement was a change.
Right.